Shop Woodhouse Ford first and experience the difference today. Our sales staff is here to make sure you find your perfect car, truck, or SUV. Visit one of our three convenient locations in Blair, Omaha, or Plattsmouth, or shop online at woodhouse.com. Woodhouse Ford. Build Ford proud.
This is how we do it.
On a positive Football Friday fiesta, we've had one negative. I veered away from my normal coffee stop because they had a line, and I didn't want to leave you hanging today. So I went to a place that I don't normally go, and I thought, you know what? Even though it's 40 degrees here, it's hoodie weather, I'm going to still go iced coffee because I'm trying to convince myself that someday it's going to warm up again and be in the 70s. Man, did I make a mistake? This is how the relationship between George and myself has grown. So I got a nice coffee from a place I don't normally go to.
Uh-huh.
It is awful.
It's bad.
And I've like tried to tough my way through drinking it. And then I said, you got to try this. When George says something's bad, it's bad. So
it is bad.
Ooh. When I'm done it too, do you think I could take that back and say, this is not very good? Cost me like $3. But I just want them to know that's a bad product on their menu.
I think if you weren't looking for a refund, you could do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to give you guys some advice. This is a bad product. Take it off the menu.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's really...
Like it's lingering in my mouth.
That I think that's what's getting me right now. It just tends to linger there.
Mm. All right, 10:43, Brian Munson. That's coming up here in a little bit. Brian Christopherson, Brett Ciancia from Pick Six Previews, and Dirk Chatelain, all to come. Holiday Bowl has been canceled in San Diego, a fun place that Nebraska has been periodically. You've got, California's still locked down. They got some restrictions. Disneyland is still closed. And the Holiday Bowl, which is unfortunate because they put on a great show at a rundown stadium, is not going to be played. So I think we're down to 37 bowls. Remember, everybody this year is able to make a bowl, even Kansas. I think there will be more bowls that will be canceled. I believe that by the time we get to December, the only bowls that will be played will be the playoff bowls, the New Year's Six bowls. I don't think the Holiday Bowl will be the first here in the next week that says we are going to cancel. All right. As I mentioned, Brian Munson's coming up at 11. We got some Cruton questions. Successful season. What does it look like? Will would like to chime in on this. Will, good Football Friday Fiesta morning.
How you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
Not too bad. Well, for me, I think we just have to be competitive against the good teams like Ohio State and Penn State. And I think this is the year where we have got to get Wisconsin and Iowa. And those are – we got to have a pretty good record against the West, in my opinion. Like I said, Ohio State, I just don't know if we're quite on that level yet. So we got to be competitive. But, yeah, in my opinion, we got to get Wisconsin and Iowa this year and most of the Big Ten West teams.
All right, Will, thanks for the call. That's the blueprint of Wisconsin. Now, I've said – you've got to have a signature moment this year, and beating either Wisconsin or Iowa would definitely fall into that category. I think Nebraska wins at Iowa this year. I think they snapped the 5-game losing streak. I'm waiting to see what Graham Mertz looks like tonight and Nakia Harris, who is their brand new running back, what they look like before I look ahead to next week. But I think one of those games, Nebraska wins this year, and I think it's the Iowa game. So that would be a signature moment because I think Iowa's going to win the West. I think you're going to have a trio of teams that are going to be 5-3, and I think Iowa will be the team that plays Ohio State in Indianapolis. But the blueprint to winning the West, and remember, not every schedule is created equal. George, if I don't give you any other advice today, let me just tell you that.
Yep.
Not every schedule is created equal in the Big Ten. But Wisconsin, since they went to the East and the West, RIP, legends and leaders, Wisconsin is 30-6 in their own division. Outside, they're on the struggle bus when it comes to Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. They are 2-9 in those matchups, and they're 0-4 in the championship game. You've got to be able to hold serve and be really good inside of the division. And then in your crossovers in a normal year, 2-1 would be great, 3-0 would be fabulous. But inside of your division, you have to have at least 5 wins to be in the conversation of winning the West. Now, there's another part of Will's question that I want to turn a different way that will show a sign of growth, I think. Now, these are the 4 staples that I'm judging how programs are run, how we judge head coaches. How do you run your entire program operation? What kind of a CEO are you? What kind of people do you hire that are on your staff, on the field, and off the field? Is it a fraternity going on there? Is it something that is a well-oiled machine from top to bottom that everybody is on the same page and they understand the same goal and they have the same goals? Then, can you recruit at a high level? The recruiting in the West is getting better. Nebraska continues to recruit well and leads the West in recruiting. But there's no off days when it comes to recruiting. The West is getting better. Wisconsin is recruiting better. Minnesota is recruiting nonstop. Minnesota's style is a little bit different from others. It is nonstop Badger, 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 Badger. Wisconsin is kind of subtle. Next thing you know, they got legacy guys that are coming there that are 5-star offensive linemen. Iowa's recruiting is better. The West is getting better at recruiting. So you have to recruit at a high level in comparison to the West. You're not going to jump up all of a sudden in a school like Nebraska and touch where Ohio State is. Even with sustained success and West Division titles, you're not jumping into the top 5. Doesn't mean that you could get one of those years here or there where you are a 10 to 15 in terms of rankings and recruiting. So then the third part of me judging where your program is going, what does development look like? When you get a guy in, I don't care what his star looks like. When he comes in the door to your program, what does he look like when he leaves your program? Are you able to develop them? Are you able to develop some guys in a short amount of time? Or some guys, because of where they're at and you have some depth, when they are able to get on the field, they don't miss a beat. Last night, hearing Greg Austin talk, and you know that I have Greg Austin, Ryan Held, and Travis Fisher in the trio of coaches on this staff that get the benefit of the doubt, that regardless of who's in the room, they're going to get them coached up and they're going to get them developed and they're going to play the right way. And you're Greg Austin, and I think they're the position group under the most pressure. Now, let me explain, because you immediately went, whoa, 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 what are you talking about? What do you mean the most pressure? They got the most experience coming back. Well, because they're going to be relied on. That's the best collection of offensive talent in the trenches that Nebraska's had in a while. They've got depth. How many times have we said that? Nebraska's offensive line has depth. But they have the makings of being good. You like Hymus. Hymus is going to block himself into an NFL deal. You don't think that Juergens will be snapping the ball all over the place. You got other guys that have started multiple games. And you've got a freshman, redshirt freshman, in Bryce Benhart that you think you're going to plug into that tackle spot and he's going to be there for 3 years as a starter. It's an offensive line that is coached well. It's an offensive line that has been together. By the way, it's an offensive line that has a running back that's going to run behind him that knows where to run. Okay, that's a nice blueprint for tomorrow. But talk about developing. Not only do you get a freshman, redshirt freshman, that was a high recruit that you brought in the door and you're going to then filter through the system and into the starting 5. But to hear Turner Corcoran is going to play this year. High recruit from Kansas. Boom. He's going to play early in his career. Alex Kahn was mentioned last night. He's somebody that's kind of forgotten about in the offensive line room. He's got a chance to play. There's other guys that are on the second team that are going to get a chance to play. So, using offensive line as an example, and again, I think this is the position group that's under the most pressure because they have to come through. They have to be the strength of this football team, is developing. We're seeing develop on the offensive line. But what about other positions? As the course of the season goes along, What does that defensive line look like in terms of developing outside linebackers, inside linebackers? We know that there are some defensive backs that have developed, and there's younger guys that now get into that cycle. And then the fourth part of me evaluating where your program is at is, what does game day look like? Now, that's a big thing, and you know that I have been strong on this all season long. This is really the year that we get a good gauge of where Nebraska football is headed. Sometimes you become numb to losing. Lose games this year, it should hurt. We shouldn't hear stories about guys were joking around after a game. We haven't heard any culture talk or buy-in, thank God. But it should be that way now. You fleece the program. Guys are in it to win it, and they understand each other. Coaches understand coaches. Coaches understand players, vice versa. So, you don't get used to losing. Losing sucks. But this is where we'll find out all of those things about Scott. And game day is one area that I'm focused on this year, because I think you've eliminated some of the other things that have ailed you through the first 2 years, whether they be on or off the field. And now you can focus on the field and developing, and most importantly, what happens on Saturday. What happens when you are faced with adversity during the course of 60 minutes? Do you crumble, or do you bow up and do you go make a play? Do you find guys that when they're challenged, they take on the challenge, and that gets them excited to win that challenge? How do you handle adversity? Because this whole year is kind of adversity, the ups and downs. I mean, I would be very disappointed if Nebraska came out tomorrow and they were laissez-faire and weren't in it to win it. Got a build-up to this. You wanted to play. Guys have talked the right language. I think Nebraska will come out and they'll want to play. They'll be hungry too. But there's something during the course of the year of the whole product that you have to ignite the fan base, re-engage the fan base, keep the fan base going, that when you flip the calendar to 2021, they go, yep, I can see it. I need to be able to see. I want to see something this year. See direction. I mean, what are we doing if it's just a hodgepodge of good here, bad, 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 good, bad, 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 good? The look is the key. How does it look? You know, we kind of made fun of Mike Riley about good football. Looks like good football. Well, that's kind of starting tomorrow. What does it look like? The look is the key. Does it look like it's well-prepared, developing, momentum, excitement, and success? If you've got all of that in the look, headed in the right direction. Definitely headed in the right direction. And when you get headed in that right direction, you would think that it could pick up speed. But how do you get to headed in the right direction? It'd be better if it happened sooner than later. But you got to also throw in, and this is all part of my thing about a successful season, is you got to throw in a signature moment this year. You can't go 3 years where your only signature moment is beating a Michigan State team, and that's what I say, the Michigan State team in 18. Knock somebody off that you're not supposed to beat. That's ranked. Just takes one, and then we get greedy and we say, okay, when's the next one coming? But you would think if you have the momentum going that it becomes a regular occurrence. Or in those games, when you're matched with like talent or talent's a little bit better, you look like you belong. Again, all about back to the look. Now, let's get a couple calls in here. Before the top of the hour, Brian Munson, Brian Christopherson in the next hour. Here is Andrew. Andrew, thanks for the call. Welcome to the show, my man.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
You know what I'm looking forward to is that 2019 class we redshirted that was important to keep together, and we redshirted quite a bit of them. Is that depth there now after they've been redshirted?
Yeah.
Are we going to see depth there?
Yes, it's depth that has to have game reps, but there is enough of those guys from 2019 that have moved their way. Either they played a lot last year and are starting this year, or they're at least number two on the depth chart.
Yeah, I mean, are we willing? Are we willing to rotate people in so they don't get gassed as much as they did?
Well, I think so, Andrew, and I think you're going to be forced to. at certain positions. But I think there's a willingness to develop depth during the course of a game because they have more bodies available that they trust. This is a big trust staff. If they don't trust you, you're not playing and you're standing right next to the coach watching the game. But if they trust you, they will put you on the field. I feel they have a trust factor with more guys this year than they had last year. But that makes sense because now they got guys under their wing for 3 years, and so they understand them a little bit more.
All right. Thank you for the info.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for the phone call. Let's one more. Here's Jamie. Morning, Jamie.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm fully hussed over here. What do we got, 24 hours? Ready to go?
Yes.
Pretty excited.
Yes, we are 24 hours right now.
Yeah. Hey, listen, love what you're saying. You know, just the little things, right? Look like a football team out there. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't turn the ball over. Martinez, make things happen. Don't be timid. And then somebody on defense, just go out and kill somebody. You know what I mean? Just hit somebody and act like you want to be out there and get fiery and have a little confidence. I mean, this is football, right? I mean, get out there and just have some fun and try to win this damn thing, you know, and stay engaged. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. I think we're going to take some lumps, but at the same time, I think we're going to grow. And you're right. This is a huge year, you know, go out there and, you know, lay it on the line and let's build this thing and get it going in the right direction.
Jamie, do you think what do you think is the expectation this year? It's a weird year. You're only going to play 8-9 games. You don't know if you're going to play week to week. You hope you're going to play week to week. It's just going to be different, the different elements in the stadium that are not normally there. What do you think the expectation is for this season?
You know, I think, like you say, win one of those games, but more importantly, you know, one of those big games, Iowa, Wisconsin. More importantly, though, I think the expectation is for us to get better every single week. I think it's for not only the players, but the coaches to, you know, pay attention to detail, do the things, make the adjustments that need to be made. You guys are paid tons of money to coach these kids. Now go out there and put them in position to win, be competitive, teach them competition. You know, that can be taught to a certain extent. A lot of people are born with, you know, competitive attitudes, but you can teach kids and you can breed competition. And I think all those things, just the little things that lead up to that will help this season. Now there's so many uncertain, you know, with COVID, but at the same time, let's not make any excuses. Let's go out there and just give everything we got. And, you know, it's time to hold everybody accountable. Right. And I think that's my overall expectation is for, you know, I don't want to hear the injuries. If somebody's hurt, get them out of the game, you know, put somebody else in. Just everybody go out there and fly around and do the things that need to happen to play winning football. So, and you know what, just, you know, stay in it, you know, just stay in every game and be super competitive. That's my expectation.
Hey, Jamie, thanks for the call. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too, man.
I think there's another part of kind of what Andrew and Jamie alluded to that I'm going to turn different real quick here before we take a break. We have Brian Munson on the other side. Is feel for Saturday. There were times last year where the football IQ was lacking, whether it be guys not doing their job, forgetting what they were repped in practice during the course of a game, a bad read, bad decision, going rogue that cost a touchdown, a key touchdown late in a game. I think the feel for the game is important this year, and it's not just players, but it's also coaches. Time, score, situation, situational football, that you have a good feel for how the game is unfolding. You have a feel for the game in your mind when you rep all week, when you show up to the stadium, how you think it's going to be. But as the game unfolds and there's things that don't go off script or once you get off script, what's your feel for a game? Are you able to adjust? That kind of also goes under the heading of how do you handle adversity? You got, for example, you got 25 plays that are scripted out for you. When you get to that 26th play and you have to change, how do you react? A better feel for the game, how it unfolds from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. I think these are all all valid on this year and how it's going to go. And then at the end of the day, in this whole discussion and all the big words that we're discussing and trying to break it down, and you don't want to suck. Nobody wants to come back to their alma mater and not be good. They want to be successful, and they're going to find a way to be successful. And that goes back to one of the four things I evaluate a program is, how do you run your operations? Check. There were things either in the first 2 years or specifically last year you didn't like. They didn't mesh with you. The program needed to be better in this area, special teams, wide receiver development. You made changes. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. As a young coach, sometimes you might be a little bit more loyal, but you don't want to suck. You never thought you'd be 9-15. You don't want to be sucking for year three and wondering where you're going. I think that was a good sign in the offseason. Now, those have to come through. Better wide receiver play and development. And then, of course, special teams are huge. Rocky special teams, sloppy special teams are a sign of bad things inside of your program in the attention to detail. The teams that are really good in special teams, and we don't know what special teams will be like tomorrow because it's a bunch of new people out there. But if you are shored up on special teams, that means that in the hallways, you're paying attention to detail. The small details that could change a football game or help you win a game or two that you normally wouldn't win during the course of a season, or a toss-up game, you win because you paid attention to the special teams part of the game that's sometimes forgotten third phase. All right. Good first hour, everybody, on a Football Friday Fiesta. We've got Brian Munson, Brian Christopherson, Brett Ciancia, Dirk Chatelain, all of you before we roll till 2. Don't forget, tomorrow, Big Red Overreaction. Damon and myself will be here. We've had some doozies surrounding Ohio State. Please, please. I don't know. See, I've asked a couple of people, not on air, George, what that show will be like. People just grateful that football is back? I hope it's not. I hope whatever happens tomorrow, it's a normal overreaction show that we've all come to love, and people that designed that show hate. I just want to, it should be normal. Don't be like, hey, Damon and Gary, I'm glad that, man, the season is back. It was just great to see him out there. Go Big Red. I'll be there in spirit next week against Wisconsin. No, I want it to be normal. Just remember that, though, if things get sideways tomorrow, that it's okay that they're just playing football. Great up to it. Great to see the boys back out there.